British Public Radio. Gaming.
We've all heard of J.K. Rowling and Steven Spielberg, but it's gaming legend Ken Levine who's storyteller of the decade. Indeed, with the gaming industry now outselling Hollywood, isn't it time we take a closer look at the major players, the creative geniuses of these make-believe worlds who keep millions of us across the UK entertained for hours, if not weeks, on end? I'm thrilled to say that joining me now for a very rare interview is gaming legend and winner of Storyteller of the Decade Game Informer Award, Ken Levine. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Well, first of all, for those not aware just how far video games have come in the last 10 years, just tell us about your latest game and the work that went into it.
Our latest game is a game called Bioshock Infinite, and it's a follow-up to a game we did a few years ago called Bioshock. And I think that one of the key things that separates Bioshock from other games is we really have a focus on trying to do the thing that games in general do better than any other media. You know, there's lots of great media out there. There's movies, there's comics, there's TV shows, but they all share one thing, that they're non-interactive. But what's great about games is they let you be part of it.
And I believe this one's very futuristic, but set in 1912. Is that right?
It is set in 1912, but it's sort of an alternate version of 1912. So it's very much the clothes of the time, the politics of the time, the music of the time, the racial politics of the time. But it's sort of in this floating city of Columbia. So you have this mixture of technology from that period. And in this case, it was the early stages of quantum mechanics. And you sort of heighten it and you expand upon it and make it as if it really took off at a much faster rate. But everything else sort of stayed the same. It's not like people are riding around in jetpacks and spaceships. It's just that one element that you sort of twist and the rest of the world sort of changed because of it.
You see, hearing you talk about the politics of the time, the sort of fashions of the time, these are things usually associated with movies. And I think this is what a lot of listeners will be quite surprised at, is how games have evolved.
Yeah, well, you know, thematically, we really like to take on elements that you don't see in a lot of games. So, for instance, things that were actually happening in the period, things like labor movements, racial biases that existed at the time, which were pretty severe, revivalist religion that was happening in America, and then, you know, tying in also the science that was happening at the time. And we really like to play in that space because history has so much amazing content to draw from.
I suppose this is one of the reasons why games are popular with adults and kids alike these days, is that complete realism and the fact that you kind of become the characters and you really get involved in their environments.
Yeah, you know, one of the great things about this game is you play this character named Booker DeWitt, and he just gets this very straightforward kind of film noir mission, which is to go to the city of Columbia and find this woman, Elizabeth, who's been essentially kidnapped and imprisoned in this tower since she was a little girl, and break her out and bring her back to New York. And when he gets there, it becomes really a story of the two of them and how they deal with this incredibly hostile city that's sort of exploding around them in a civil war.
Hey! Knock it off! Stop it! Will you stop it?
Not here to hurt you.
Who are you?
My name is DeWitt. I'm a friend. I come to get you out of here.
Get away! No! Are you real?
I'm real enough.
This character, Elizabeth, is something really special because normally, characters in games, their interactions happen in non-interactive cutscenes. And in this game, she's with you all the time. She's responding to what you do in an interactive space.
What are you doing?
You're a roguish type. What does it look like? Done.
What did you learn to pick locks?
Trapped in a tower with nothing but books and spare time? You would be surprised what I know how to do.
She's essentially like an actress that we built out of a whole combination of technology, of motion capture, and all these things work together to make a character that is fully engaged no matter what the player does.
I can't believe you did that. You killed those people.
Elizabeth,
you're a monster.
What did you think was going to happen?
What?
Do you understand the expense the people went through to keep you locked up in that tower? You think people like that are just gonna let you walk away? You are an investment, and you will not be safe until you are far away from here.
What do they want from me?
I don't know. One thing I've learned: if you don't draw first, you don't get to draw at all.
You mentioned their motion captures. Mm-hmm. Was it? Yeah, I mean, is the sort of line between movies, real life, and computer games becoming ever more blurred?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to create a character like Elizabeth, it takes a village. You know, I wrote her dialogue. You have an actress, Courtney Draper, you know, voice actress. You have a motion capture actress who does the movement that we capture and then put into the game. You have animators who tune that up. You have character modelers who create the 3D model of the character. And you have AI, artificial intelligence people. So, for instance, when a human walks in a room, they're just naturally going to be interested in various things. Oh, there's an interesting picture on the wall. There's an interesting person over there. Our designers like tag things in the world to say, hey, Elizabeth, this is interesting to you. That's interesting to you. That's not so interesting to you. And she's got an AI inside which says, well, if I've been interested in a lot of pictures recently, I'm going to be less interested in pictures and more interested in flowers or more interested in people or more interested in whatever. So we really try to simulate a human being.
Hey, miss. Miss Elizabeth.
Hello. Oh, this is wonderful. Well, come dance with me, Mr. Dwayne.
I don't dance. Come on, let's go.
Why? What could be better than this?
How about Paris?
Paris? I don't understand. How could we get there?
That's where that airship's going, but if you want to stay and dance, we can...
No, let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go right now.
And tell us a bit more about how you went about designing the city. Did you get help from architects?
Our first game was very heavily focused on the Art Deco period. And this game is sort of a mixture of Art Nouveau and neo-classicism and a couple of other things. And we all do a lot of research. The only thing outside expert we brought in a physicist, because I was in over my head a little bit. So we brought in a physicist from MIT to deal with the quantum mechanics. But generally, we're just amateur architects, we're amateur historians, we're amateur music historians, and we just sort of bring all these interests and we try to find what's great about the period and do tons of research and bring it into our work.
Because how did you get involved with the gaming world? You used to write movie scripts, didn't you?
Yeah, I started out as a screenwriter, and that was an interesting experience. But the difference is when I was a screenwriter, that was a field where they already sort of knew how to make movies. They knew exactly what to do. There wasn't a lot of learning going on because the industry is 100 years old. With games, when I got in 1995, it was really the Wild West. There was no standard format to how to make games, and there still really isn't. We're still sort of figuring this out as we go along.
So what do you think the future holds for the gaming world?
You know, I don't know. Like, people ask me that question a lot. I really just try to focus on telling good stories and making good games. I think that the only thing that I know is going to be important is people want to be entertained. They want quality. They want an experience that they're going to remember. And, you know, so in terms of technology and platforms, I'm less interested in that than I am in sort of continuing to grow the media as a way to express ideas and put people in worlds, because that's what games do. They don't just show you a world. They put you in a world. And I mean that very literally. And there's nothing like that. You can explore every nook and cranny of Colombia and in a way that you can't do in a movie.
Fantastic. Ken Levine, legend of the gaming world. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.